Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, September 22nd, the year of our Lord, 2024. And this is the 18th Sunday after Pentecost. It is an absolute joy to welcome you here to the podcast today. I pray you are well, and if you're not feeling so well, I pray that this will be a time of renewal and maybe some healing for you. So let's get right to it. Let's begin in the way that is our custom and practice here. We begin in a spirit of thankfulness and gratitude. And so we give thanks for the gift of life by taking in this breath of life. Take a big breath in and hold it for a moment. Give thanks to God for it. Recognize every breath as a gift, as a new opportunity. And as you breathe, call to mind the things that bring you joy. The people and the situations, the opportunities, the places that you would name as a gift in your life, as special, set apart from other things. And with this in mind, give thanks to God for each and every one of these gifts. All of it made possible by this breath of life. Maybe turn your face toward the sky, look upward, and continue to breathe and open your arms wide as if to embrace God Himself. And in this posture, in this spirit, let's begin together in worship. Please join with me in the call to worship as printed in your digital bulletin. You can find that bulletin just to the left on the same line where you found the podcast, the left margin. Just go below the line there. You'll see a tab that says Sermon Notes. You tap on that, click on it, and the bulletin will come up for you. Let's begin. O God, our teacher and guide, you draw us to yourself and welcome us as beloved children. Help us to lay aside our envy and selfish ambition, that we may walk in your ways of wisdom and understanding as servants of your peace. Amen. Friends, our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Mark in the 9th chapter, verses 30 through 37. They went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them. And taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Let's join for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the gift of your word, alive and living among us. And we pray that we could truly hear what you say to us through this word today, through these few verses from Mark's gospel. We know that there is rich truth here for us. There is an insight for our daily living. There is a living word. And we've come to this moment seeking your wisdom and your guidance, your assurance and your healing. And so we pray, God, open our ears so that we could hear. Open our minds so that we could understand. Soften our hearts so that this word could circulate through us. We pray that you'll save us from distraction and misinterpretation, so that we could truly receive the blessings that are present for us in this good word. We ask this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. I'd imagine all of us have had the experience of being hesitant to ask a question, maybe even afraid to ask a question. And the reason for that hesitance, those are varied. Sometimes it's just basic that we don't want to be embarrassed. We're too proud to ask the question. Maybe it's something that we didn't do the reading before class, and we know if we ask the question, we'll reveal the fact that we're unprepared. But you know what I mean. So it's the kind of question that often begins, once you get the courage to ask it, you say something like, "Oh, this is going to sound like a dumb question, but..." And then you go off and ask your question, and the answer to which is not all that heavy. But then there are these questions that we're more afraid to ask, because the answer we're going to get has more weight to it, more significance, more impact on our lives. Sometimes those are questions about relationships and love. Sometimes those questions involve our physical health and our well-being. And sometimes they're spiritual questions. And certainly the question in play that's not being asked today is a spiritual question about Jesus as Messiah and the implications for that, which connects to where we were last week, which, well, that story began with a question, Jesus and the disciples on the road, and Jesus directly asked the disciples, his apostles, the 12, "Who do you say that I am?" And they give a variety of answers at first, and then Peter seems to very quickly say, "You're the Messiah," which I interpret as Peter, he's had a question that he's been afraid to ask. I think he's the Messiah. Is he the Messiah? Should I ask him? I don't want to embarrass myself. What if he's not the Messiah? Jesus opens the door. Peter asks the question, and Peter's affirmed. Yes, I'm the Messiah. And Jesus can tell that while he's affirmed Peter in his understanding that he is the Messiah, Peter doesn't fully understand the implications and the weight of what it means for Jesus to be Messiah. And so he goes on to teach him and them what that means, that it comes at a cost. If you go back when Jesus answers this question fully, he says to them, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said it all quite openly. Peter doesn't like this answer. Peter, I would imagine, maybe even wishes he took back his answer so that he wouldn't have to hear this. And as the scripture says, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. I don't like the answers. That's fine. Keep the description to yourself. This is not right. It's not going to go down that way. But Jesus is continuing to teach Peter, it's going this way. And if you stand in the way of it, you're standing in the way. You're standing on the side of the enemy. So get behind me, Satan. It's a big interaction. And it comes with a lot of weight. And at some point, they have to kind of drop it all and move on, which they do. And so there's another moment that quickly follows that story. It's at the beginning of chapter 9. And it's a story of Jesus asking Peter and James and John to follow him up on a mountaintop. So they head up to this mountaintop, and you can imagine what they're thinking, Peter, James, and John, like, wow, the rabbis selected us three to be up on this mountaintop. And we're going to go on retreat, and who knows what we're going to learn. Well, they very quickly realize what they're going to learn, and it is going to be terrifying in some way. Because as they get to their destination, Jesus becomes absolutely radiant with the light of God, the truth of God, the full revelation of who Jesus is, comes in the form of a brilliant, transfiguring light. They see him as he truly is. And they see also with him Elijah and Moses, representatives of the prophets and the law, fully personified in Jesus, and it's all overwhelming. And Peter kind of bumbles and stumbles and tries to figure out how it is he should respond to this. And then in the midst of all of that, a cloud comes. A cloud surrounds them, and then a voice comes from the cloud that says to them, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." And then it's over. They look around, the cloud's gone, Elijah and Moses are gone, and there's Jesus, his regular Jesus, not illuminated, transfigured Jesus. And he gives them a knowing look and says, "Don't tell anyone what you've seen. Don't say anything until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. Continues with that teaching of what it means for him to be Messiah. And so quietly they make their way down the mountain, and then they engage a crowd. The other disciples are there, and they seem to be arguing with these people. And as they get closer, the crowd realizes that Jesus is approaching. And he says, "Whoa, what's going on here? What are you all arguing about?" And a man comes forward and explains that he's brought to the disciples his son who is possessed of an unclean spirit that causes him to go into these convulsions. And he's had this condition for years. And that he has brought his son to the disciples for healing, and they could do nothing for him. And they're frustrated. In Jesus' presence, the child is healed. In Jesus' presence, all is healed and made well. Which begs a question. The disciples later ask, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, this kind of demon, can come out only through prayer. Question asked, question answered, an answer that probably begs a whole lot more questions. All of that leads us up to today's reading. That they went from that place where the child was healed. They went from there and they passed through Galilee. They passed through it. They passed through home territory. Why? Because he did not want anyone to know he was around. For he was teaching his disciples. This time in between his public ministry in Galilee to his the final chapters of his life in Jerusalem, this was a time of intense teaching with his disciples as he reveals who he is, why he's come, and the implications that it has for them. This is where we are now in Mark's telling of the story. They went from there. They passed through Galilee. He was teaching his disciples, saying to them, once again, reinforcing the teaching he has given to Peter and the rest of them about what it means for him to be Messiah. "Let me reinforce, as we make our way to Jerusalem, the Son of Man is to be betrayed into..." Hang on this for a minute. I'm not going to say anything more about it, but think about it. He says, Jesus says to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands." The Son of Man is to be betrayed, is to be betrayed into human hands. "And they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." Just like before, as Jesus shocked Peter with his answer, and the crowd was awestruck by his answer, they still don't understand. This doesn't make any sense. How does Messiah come like this? In verse 32, "But they did not understand what he was saying," and to our original thought and question here, they didn't understand what he was saying, and they were afraid to ask him. And so they didn't ask him. They didn't ask him. So they stuffed that question away, and as they're walking along, they just start talking about other stuff. And as maybe a group of guys would do, they start talking about who's the greatest. They start arguing about, okay, when this all goes down, who's going to have the best office? Who's going to have the highest position? You know, I think he likes me best. And by the way, you guys didn't get to go up on the mountain with James and I and John. So who knows? I'm just, you know, making up what that conversation might have been like. And Jesus kind of knew what was going on. But he let them have that conversation. So as the text puts it, "Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, 'What were you arguing about on the way?' They were silent, for they had argued about this, who was the greatest. And they knew he wasn't going to like their answer. So he said, they told him, we were arguing about who was the greatest. And so he sat down. He's like, I knew it. He sits down in this house, and there must be some children running in the house. And so as he sits down, he says, whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. Then he took a little child and put it among them. And taking it in his arms, he said to them, whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me comes not to me, but the one who sent me. But the one who sent me. To welcome Jesus is to welcome God. To welcome a little one, to walk among the vulnerable and the hurting with the kind of grace and peace and love that Jesus does, is to welcome God. Jesus is the Messiah. Mark's gospel makes that very clear. He says it time and time again. As he states that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the Most High God, as Mark shows us what that means for Jesus and what the implications are for us who choose to follow in the way of Jesus, it fills us up with a lot of questions. Questions that have direct answers, questions that we can find through conversation with fellow believers and Bible study. And some questions that are like the healing of the boy with the unclean spirit. They're questions, they're answers, they are wholeness or healing that can only come, they can only come through prayer. We want a relationship with Jesus that makes us feel special. And certainly, in many ways it does. It makes us feel special and loved. But our choosing Jesus, or rather Jesus choosing us, isn't a position of earthly prestige. It's a responsibility. It's just as he teaches. It is to prove our greatness through our service, that our faith comes in our humility. And some of that humility is in the questions that we ask. Questions that might feel like, this is going to sound dumb, but... And those are usually questions that a lot of other people have too. For the disciples and for us, the Gospels, the story of Jesus, the life, death, resurrection, ascension, and promised return of Jesus, they stir up a lot of questions for us. Questions that we ought to ask, questions that we should seek answers to, and when we feel like we're running around in circles and not getting answers, identifying those questions as things that we just need to take to God. And that as we accumulate some knowledge and we feel our faith grow, that does not put us in a position above others. It's a calling to go out and to listen to the questions. Offer the answers to the best of our ability to give answers. And if those are answers, spoken answers, or answers that we demonstrate through being agents of healing and grace and charity and compassion, following in the way, carrying the cross of truth and compassion and grace and honesty. And person by person, community by community, questions are answered. Faith grows. We have more and more strength for each new day to take on the challenges that the world puts against us. Knowing that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the Most High God, who has come to save us from ourselves, save us from an eternity absent from God. It's challenging. It can be overwhelming. It could be a little frightening. It can beg a lot of questions of us. But in it all, and especially among us all, it is tremendous good news, to which I say, Amen. Heavenly Father, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Elijah and Moses, God of apostles and disciples, God of the unnamed faithful, we call to you and we pray. And we begin our prayer with confession for the many, many ways we have sinned and fallen short, the many ways that we know what we ought to do and we don't do it, the things that we should say and we don't say them, the questions that we ought to ask and we don't ask them. But it is a promise of our faith. If we're honest with ourselves, and we bring this honesty to you and we confess these things, these sins, that you recognize our honesty and our vulnerability, and you offer us forgiveness through your Son, our Lord Jesus. And so we claim that forgiveness now, and we give you thanks for it. This amazing love, this amazing grace. And we cherish it. And we find new life in it. And so in this grateful and redeemed way of being, We ask for your help. We ask that you come alongside the leaders of this world, people who are in positions of power and influence. And it seems that so many squander those positions for their own gain, for their own ego, in a pursuit of being the greatest among men. I pray, O God, lift up servant leaders, men and women convicted by the scripture that we just read today about serving and loving and caring for the least and the lost. May it be true of all of us. I pray, come alongside those who are losing hope, those who are hurting, those with situations that can only be cured through prayer. So we pray. And you know, each and every one of us, God, has our own specific list with names and situations, hopes and dreams and aspirations and stuff that just needs to be fixed, and we have no idea how. And you counsel us, bring it to you. And so we do. We take a moment to be humble and to be quiet in your presence. We take a moment to share our hearts with you. We break our silence. We thank you, God, for the gifts of peace and quiet, for the blessed assurance of your presence with us, and knowing that you are here with us now. Hear us as we say together a prayer that we have received as a gift, a prayer that goes by your name. Hear us, Lord, as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So, my dear friends, as we prepare to move on from this time together, I pray that we will do so more keenly aware of the questions that we hold in our hearts, questions that we're hesitant to ask, questions that we're afraid to ask, and that we can perhaps begin by asking these questions to God, seeking God's answers. Our God, whom we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who answers questions and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.